Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good to see you here this morning. And if you're joining us online, thanks for tuning in as well. And if you're visiting, again, I just want to say thank you for visiting. It always takes a step of kind of uncomfortableness to do that. And so we want to make it as comfortable as possible. And usually you want to know more about the church, what we're about, all that kind of stuff. There's a couple ways to do it. QR code on the seat in front of you. Scan that into your phone. It'll take you to our website, and you can check that out. Or you can go out to our welcome kiosk, ask your questions. Or if you came with somebody, maybe they know as well. Or just ask somebody around you. Did you get their first name, by the way? Okay, if you got their first name, shout it out in three. One, two, three. All right. Because if you're like me, you meet somebody and 3 seconds later you forgot their name. So just trying to encourage you there when you were instructed by our worship leader this morning to get a name of somebody you don't know. It's good to, we don't want any strangers in the house. And so we're not an audience, we're a family. So it's important we know each other's names. All right. And our guys are up at the men's retreat, at least a lot of our guys are, and they should be coming back, wrapping up probably in the next half hour. I was up there yesterday, and I think I won the axe throwing contest. I think I did. And that's pretty sad when you think a bunch of young guys, I don't know what that says about me, that I'm good at throwing an axe, but anyway. They're on their way back here soon, and God's doing a work there. So anyway, wanted to give you a debrief on that. So I'm going to make a claim here that you might feel you want to challenge, but that's okay. And that is this. My wife makes the best fish tacos on the planet. See? Look at that. She's clapping. And it's not because she uses a special kind of fish. It's not because she goes to Trader Joe's and gets their fish, cod, whatever they do. It's not because she cooks it a certain way, it doesn't have a special tortilla. Her tacos go from average to amazing because of the secret sauce. I mean, it's next level. It truly is. It's like, after a while, you're like, can I have more sauce and then a little side of fish? I mean, that's kind of how it goes. Now, you could argue it, but, you know, people that have come over to our house and we've had fish tacos are going, can I get the recipe? Whatever, you know, it's your secret. And it definitely pays off. Takes the average taco to a new level. And the reason I bring this up is because I'm going to ask you another question. Well, I didn't ask you a question, I told you. But I'm going to ask you a question now. How would you describe your walk with the Lord today or this week? Would you say it's amazing? Would you say it's okay? Not good, not bad, but not good. Or would you say it could be better? Now, if you said amazing, awesome. Good for you. Because I think the average person wouldn't say that. The average person would say, it's okay. Could be better. And here's the problem with that. We end this up saying that year after year after year, week after week after week. And we start looking back and, you know, we come to the end of the year and make all these New Year's resolutions and all that. And I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But then the next year it's like, could be better. It's okay, but it's not amazing. Now, here's the deal. I believe the reason for that is because we don't know God's secret sauce. The secret sauce for a transformative Christian life and applying that and using that. We have other methods, we have other approaches which keep us in this place of it's okay, it could be better. But today I want to talk about the secret sauce. I've entitled the morning's message that. It's on your worksheet, the secret sauce. And we're going to look at how to be transformed or have a transformed walk with Jesus, part one. And we're looking at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and part of 12. I think this is pivotal. Some of it's going to be obvious, but some of it's not going to be obvious. And you can measure how you think things could be or ramp things up or whatever versus what God thinks. Now, we're at the end of, close to the end of 1 Timothy, which is our beautiful church series, which we've been in for, I don't know how many months, but we've been in a while. But if you remember, it's all about taking mediocrity to the next level. It's all about unhealthy practices and how to make them healthy. The Ephesian church was a thriving church. The Ephesian church was, by all stretch of imagination, was probably the most healthy church in its day. And that's when Paul wrote the letter to the Ephesians, if you remember. That was about 10 years prior. Well, they went south. They declined. They got off the rails. And so Paul sent in Timothy, Pastor Timothy, to realign, to increase, to make better. So we've talked about all kinds of topics over the better part of this year. We've talked about spiritual warfare, because the Ephesian church had got off track, forgot all about an enemy. We talked about prayer, because they weren't a praying church. That had declined. We talked about their relationships, their disagreements with one another, the division that was taking place, because they weren't in a good spot on that at all. We talked about their false teaching. We talked about healthy leadership, what that looks like through the qualifications and what a healthy leader should look like, whether it's an elder or a deacon. We talked about how they should lead. We talked about how the church should follow their leadership. And a couple weeks ago, we talked about the issue of money and how greed and materialism and this selfishness that had crept into the church as well. In fact, by way of review, in verse 10, last time we were here, it says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through the craving that some have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains." So we talked about how, you know, you got to keep money in check. It's not about having money. It's about money having you. And the key on that is your motive for it and your value in it. It's important, it's a big part of life, but it can own you, it can be an idol to you, and it was for the Ephesians. And then we talked about how it's important, because we saw that if you're steeped in materialism and greed, people have wandered from the faith based on that. And we talked about keeping a daily commitment in place with the Lord to protect that. So this message now, this morning, is more of a deeper look at that daily commitment and what that should look like, okay? So that's a little review. So now Paul picks up, he's talking to Timothy in verse 11. He says, "But as for you," we could insert the word Timothy, "oh man of God," reminding him who he's serving and whose church it really is, God's, "flee these things." What things? All the things I've been talking to you about in the last six chapters. Immediately flee this issue of greed, materialism, and all those things, selfishness. But beyond that, flee all the other stuff we're talking about. Division and discord and prayerlessness and all these kinds of things. He's saying flee. Now that word flee literally means escape. So escape the bad stuff. And so Paul quickly summarizes everything he's been talking about in the whole letter to Timothy in this verse. And he gives us the secret sauce, or at least the first ingredient, that it's not just about doing stuff. It's not just about reading your Bible. It's not just about praying. It's not just about going to church. It's not just about giving. It's not just about all that. There's something that needs to precede that. And that is, I put it this way, number one, your outline, how to transform your walk with Jesus, run from spiritual or sinful situations. You might go, okay, that's pretty basic, avoid sin. Yeah, but let me unpack this a little bit, because a lot of times we think we can handle stuff. And we think that, you know, when we're in a relationship that maybe isn't healthy, or we're, you know, maybe how we approach social media or whatever, and we think we're okay. And that's the deception. And so we get in this mindset that if we just do more stuff as Christians, then we'll be okay. There has to be something that precedes the doing okay. Okay, let me back up. So do you remember the story of Joseph? Do you remember Joseph was the slave of Potiphar? I think it's Genesis 39. And you remember Potiphar's wife. Joseph is a good-looking dude. And Potiphar's wife thought so as well. And she made a play on him when Potiphar left. Do you remember that? Just nod and we'll move on. Okay. Well, do you remember what happened when she made a play on him and tried to sleep with him? He ran. He took off, physically left the house and ran. He didn't sit there and dialogue with her. He didn't sit there and go, well, what's going on? You got a little lust in your life? You know, I'm not, who am I and who are you? And try to talk her off the building. No, he ran. Do you remember David, King Saul? Remember, God's anointing was starting to be lifted from Saul, and he's going to hand the mantle over to David. Now, David was a skilled rock thrower, not axes, but rocks. And do you remember Saul was always trying to harm David? And at one point, he tried to lunge a spear at him. And David didn't duck and lunge the spear back. What did David do? Ran. He could have taken Saul out instantly, but he knew it had been sin. He knew it had been ahead of God's plan, and so he ran. This idea of running, of avoiding, of getting out of the sinful situations, sinful activities is critical for a transformative walk with Jesus. My wife loves to ride horses. How many of you ride horses? A few of you. And when I say ride horse, I don't mean you went on a trail ride and came home. I mean like you'd kind of do it. Okay. Is there one person? There you go, one. There's one. All right. Guaranteed, if I asked her, has she ever gotten hurt? Ever been thrown from a horse? Have you? 99.9% of horse people talk about injuries, broken ribs, broken arms, broken ankles, broken feet. Why? Because horses are prey animals. Their only defense is run, so they can spook easy. And when they're spooked, they're out of there. And if you're on their back, oh well. Still out of there. So the slam of a car door, the loud of a firework or whatever, or something happens to their feet that catches them off guard, they rear back and they're gone. Because that's how they protect themselves. Paul is telling Timothy, be spooked. Don't hang out and think you can deal with it. Run. Flee. That's the first step in the secret sauce. Because when you hang out, and he unpacks this even a little earlier when he wrote to the Ephesian church, and he said this, Ephesians 4:22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. What's the old self? Sinfulness. Which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. To be made new in the middle, in the attitude of your minds, and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Do you catch that? So it's a clothing metaphor here. And it's saying, hey, before you put on new clothes, take off the old clothes. Take off the stuff that's dirty, that's ripped, that's torn, i.e. sin. And then put on the new clothes. The problem is a lot of times we don't deal with the old clothes. And on top of the old clothes, we put on the new clothes, Bible study, small group meetings, going to church, but we've allowed the sin to stay in place and we go, how come nothing's really happening in my walk? How come it's just okay? How come it could be better? Because we haven't dealt with the first part first. We haven't taken it off. We haven't run from it and dealt with it. 1 John, remember that? If you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from unrighteousness. So in our confession to God about the old self, he'll actually, if we confess it to him, he'll actually give us a spiritual bath. Then you can put on the good stuff. That's the key. That's the secret. And so often as Christians, We don't think of the putting off. We just think of more to do. And so we got multiple layers of clothing on. Some of it smells good, some of it stinks, and we haven't really walked in a way. And so he's telling Timothy, don't get caught. Don't get caught. So what does that look like for you? Who or what do you need to put off? Do you need to run from? Let's start with some topics. What are you exposing yourself to that may be sinful or at least not spiritually healthy? Start with the television. Social media. Computer habits. Work environment. Eating, shopping. Unhealthy, sinful relationships. That's just to name a few that we will all find ourselves in. Potiphar situations. How do we deal with that? Do we deal with that? That's the key. So we got unhealthy computer habits. You can connect the dots on that one. And then we come over here and do a Bible study. How's that going to work out for you? It's always going to be lacking. It's always going to be okay. We have unhealthy TV, social media habits, interacting with people, a lot of distractions, discord. And then we come over here and talk about loving small group community. You see how they just kind of neutralize themselves rather than flee. And a lot of that has to do with we trust ourselves. We think we can handle it. We think we're above it. Oh, yeah, it's style. You know, because I understand you don't really watch that kind of stuff, but for me, I can handle that. We've had those discussions, right? So what is that for you? Because until you do that and deal with that, it's always going to be just okay. Could be better. So-so. See you next Sunday. We can't just read, pray, and attend church when our sin isn't being addressed and dealt with. But there's the other side to this coin. It's not just flee, because in the next part of the verse, he says, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Did you catch that? So throw off all these things that I've just talked to you about in this letter that are sinful and not healthy situations, and throw on or pursue. So flee and now pursue. That word pursue, by the way, means chase. Literally, it's the opposite of running. So chase after. Don't just sit there and say, I'm not going to do that, but chase after. And this is the key piece. This is the other ingredient to the sauce. So it's more than running from sin, to be specific, but running towards godliness. And so this has this idea that I'm going to stop doing something, but I'm going to start, and here's the key, start doing something. So number two on your outline, how to transform your walk with Jesus, replace sin with godly behavior. So it's one thing to run from sinful situations and habits and activity, but now you got to run towards something. You got to replace it. It's about stopping, yes, but starting. It's about avoiding, yes, but it's also about engaging. And this gets overlooked too. Because we think if we resist sin, that we'll be okay. But by definition, if that's the end, then you're kind of sitting in nothingness. For example, you got a work environment that can you go out of town with some work friends and get where they want to go to a strip club. You're like, I'm not careful. I'm not down with that. Well, if you trust yourself, you go and think you can handle it. But now we're on the other side saying, no, that's not good. I'm not going to do that. Okay, what are you going to do then? Do something. Go do something. Don't just sit in your room and not do something. Replace it with something. Over the years, you know, I've done a lot of marital counseling. And one thing I've found is that couples are really good. When couples are struggling and, you know, they make an appointment and whatever, what couples are really good at, and I get it, they're really good at assessing the problem. They're really good, it depends on whose side you're talking to, but if the husband's feeling disrespected, he's really good at describing how he's disrespected. He's got his arms around that, 100%. Or, flip it the other way, the wife feels unloved. She can describe with emotion and depth how she feels unloved. Where they fall short is, okay, you're not going to do those unloving things or those disrespectful things anymore. What are you going to do? And they don't go there. They just start at the, would you stop doing this? Would you stop doing this? But according to Scripture, and start doing what? You notice I'm going back and forth a lot. I don't mean to throw you off here, but there's two camps here that I'm working with, and I won't do that. Okay. So, the counseling appointment goes something like this. You don't feel loved, do you? No. What would make you feel loved? Well, at a minimum, if he'd just stop, do this. No, I know, but what would you want him to do to make you feel loved? Because if he just stops, that doesn't mean you feel loved. It just means you don't feel unloved. Oh, hadn't thought about that. Same with the respect piece. What would make you feel respect? Now we got accountability. And now we can measure it. Now we can say, okay, husband, you do these two things. Your wife, she is saying right now, she'll feel loved. Wife, you do these two things to your husband, he'll feel respected. You do those things, see you next week. And when we come back next week, 99.9% of the time, if they do them, they're way better off. They put off and they put on. They fleed and they pursued. Get it? Paul put it this way to the Philippian church. Oh, you know, read, I think it's on one of your daily devotions, Ephesians 5. It's kind of interesting. Paul addresses some of these habits in the church. And one of them was, he told them to stop stealing. Okay? Because guys were stealing. Okay? It's wild, but it's happening. But he just didn't say stop stealing. You know what else he said? Get a job. They were chirping and criticizing each other. And he said, stop the unhealthy talk. He just didn't stop there. He said, and now build one another up. So don't just stop criticizing. Now when you talk, work on building other people up. He wrote to the Philippian church, Philippians 4:8. He said, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. So in other words, that's proactive. That's saying I'm not only going to flee, but I'm going to. So if we get back to our, what we're going to put off, maybe you have identified a couple of those things to flee. What are you going to replace it with? A couple weeks ago, I had a few days where I was going to flee social media. And I happened to be out of town, and I did. And you know what I pursued? Nature. I was out in nature. I was taking hikes. I was fishing. It was amazing. In fact, multiple times, my wife would say, hey, you know, I just on the news, I don't want to go there. Because it's going to pull me in, And then my mind's going to start going. Okay, so if we go down, I gave an example of your work. But if you're going to say, you know what, I need to slow down on social media. I get too engaged. I get too involved. I end up coming back in not a good place, but a place of fear, a place of anxiety, a place of just, it's not good for me spiritually. Okay. What are you going to replace that time with? Have a plan. Instead of logging on, I'm going to open my Bible. Instead of logging on, I'm going to worship God. Instead of logging on, I'm going to paint a picture. Something. Or maybe you're saying, you know, I need to avoid this relationship. It's not a good one. We always fall into sin. It's just not healthy. We don't build each other up, actually. We bring out the worst in each other. Okay. So I'm going to avoid that unhealthy relationship. Great. Who will you hang out with? See the difference? Versus I'm going to sit at home alone. Oh, I'll hang out again. Or maybe it's a work situation, which we talked about. Maybe it's the TV. That's pretty basic. You're going to watch Netflix. You're going to watch Prime. You're going to watch Paramount. Whatever your TV prescriptions are, great. I'm not going to watch that series anymore. I'm not going to watch that. Okay, well, then what are you going to watch? Everybody's looking at each other. The key is replacement. Not just what you ran from, but what you're running towards. That's the secret sauce. And that's those nuance adjustments that I said sometimes, because often we think about growing in our walk with the Lord, we think of more time in the Word, we think of more time in prayer, we think of going to church, we think of going to a grow group, we think of serving, giving, all those kinds of things. But see this nuance of what are you putting off first? What are you fleeing from first? And what specifically are you replacing there that you avoid? That's the nuance of all those things that we just talked about. And finally, and we won't talk about this long because we talked about it last week, Paul says, fight the good fight of the faith. In other words, the Christian life of fleeing and pursuing won't be easy. I put it this way. Number three, how to transform your walk with Jesus. Recognize it'll take hard work. And that's the same point I gave you last week when we were talking about Charlie Kirk and our dark world and that kind of thing. But I just want to restate it because the verse is right there and it's part of this context. So the implication is this idea of pursuing and fleeing and pursuing is not going to be easy. It's going to take work. Hard work. Remember, fight, that word, agonizo, means agonize. That doesn't sound comfortable. That doesn't sound like a blessing. That doesn't sound like easy. It's hard work. And so you have to ask yourself, you know, we're sitting there saying, if I had to describe my walk, it's okay. Could be better. Well, how much effort are you putting into it? Specific effort, but how much effort are you putting into it? Well, not really much. Well, okay. Paul says it should be agonizing. Remember he said, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power, Ephesians 6:10. Put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. That's a soldier. That's a battle. Christian life is a fight. It's a good fight, but it's a fight. And apathy is one of the biggest faith killers there is. You don't care. Not really motivated. Used to, back in the day when I first became a Christian, man, I was very proactive. I avoided all kinds of stuff. I even had to make all new friends. And, you know, we were going to Bible studies, we were going to bars, and, you know, we were da 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 da. Well, now it's, you know, I can handle it. It's not that bad. I'm more mature. And we find ourselves with, could be better. It's kind of how life goes and where we're going as a culture. When I was coming down from the men's retreat, I came down at about 5:30. Sun was starting to set. And it was up in Running Springs. So you know that two-lane highway coming down? It's kind of a thing. I mean, you got to pay attention. And at times it's pretty steep. You ain't riding the gas pedal. You're riding the brake. You know, coming around the corner, coming in hot, you know, and then going again and working it. And then when it got down from the hill, that was a little nerve-wracking for me. Because a guy wanted to talk to me on the phone, and I could barely hear him, and I said, let me just call you later. And, okay, great. And then when I got on the freeway, the sun was setting, and it was so bright. I mean, I had dark glasses on, the shade was down. It was so bright that I'm on the freeway, and I'm looking for off-ramps, and I can't even see the freeway sign. It's just black, because behind it is the sun. And I'm like trying to look through my rearview mirror, like, can I see possibly the name? Like, is the 54 coming up or whatever? And then, of course, my GPS Google thing, the volume's down. You ever had that? Where it's like, why is the volume down? But I'm on the freeway, and, you know, the icon for the volume is the size of a gnat, you know, and so I can't, and then I need my glasses to be able to see it, you know, and you all know what I'm talking about if you're over whatever age. So it was stressful. I made it home, but man. And then I started thinking of the future of cars and our culture, and I thought, wow, one day this car is just going to drive itself. I mean, I can just have a Pepsi and talk on the phone, and it's getting me home. It can see the signs. It knows the GPS. It knows when to brake. That'd be awesome. And that's where we're heading as a culture. Here's the problem. That's not where God's heading with our faith. There's never going to be an automatic pilot when it comes to your walk with the Lord. It's always going to take navigating. It's always going to take brakes and gas and paying attention. Yet as a culture, we go for less is more. That the whole idea of I don't have to work hard at anything, things are automated, I don't need to put forth effort. And the problem is when we attach that to our faith, the faith dies. So it takes work. But the payoff is great. It will transform your walk with the Lord in a good way. So if you're finding apathy is kicking in, if you're finding that I'm okay, another Sunday in church, here I am, check that box, get my favorite donut. Okay, see you next Sunday. Try this. It was his final words to Timothy. And it can be the final words to the church because he was going to read this letter to the church too. So it applies to the church as well. But there's a couple more ingredients to this secret sauce that we'll talk about next week. Lord, we thank you for this morning and thank you for your word. It's just wild to me how relevant your word is, that the stuff you're dealing with 2,000 years ago or is no different than today. It just shows our human condition really hasn't changed. It's just culture and things that we enjoy or don't enjoy has. And so, Lord, as you give these instructions to Timothy to flee and to pursue and let him know that it's not going to be easy, Lord, we take those to heart. And I just pray right now that you just make us aware of some things we need to flee. Speak to our hearts right now. I just encourage everybody to just be quiet before God a little bit here right now. Tell us, Lord, what is it? Or who is it? And Lord, we want to confess that maybe until now we haven't been willing to flee. Until now, we haven't been willing to put off. And I just pray for that, Lord. And then, Lord, what to pursue? how to fill the void that sin has caused with righteousness, with love, with faith, all those things you've described. And give us strength, Lord. In our own strength, we can do nothing. But when we operate in your strength, we can do anything. So I do pray for a real transformative work in our walks with you this week. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.